Hanson. Care for a rub down?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
There she is. Let's go.
Fucking cover to give you up to. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
I'm not, mate.
It's toasty up here.
I'm not made for cold weather, mate. Oh, fuck
nice,
you.
It's a nice, just nice 21 degrees. It's beautiful.
It's probably all those blankets behind you.
Yeah, and well, I put all the furniture back in this room, so I'm hoping it's not.
Oh, fair play.
Mad Dog. All right. Well, let's get into round 15, waiver wire dribble. Tear the scab off one. You got one there, mate? Vino. Cheers, mate. Cheers, rubbers.
Cracked a few beers at the injury pod, mate. Yeah. Need to dial back a little bit.
It is red wine. It is red wine weather.
It's red wine season.
It is. So, guys, what we're going to do, we're going to just hammer through the guys that we like for claims this week, and then we're going to answer all the questions that came through on Instagram, all the questions that you guys have got here on Insta Live. Wooker, you'll be in charge of keeping tabs of the questions as they roll through on Instagram.
Yep.
And I'll just steer the ship through all the claims that we like for round 15. So let's get into it. Hooker. So, look, we talked about it earlier in the week. Wooker, there's not much there. When we talked to Brian Sini, the NRL physio, he did say that Jaden Brayley is looking like he will return a little bit earlier than that round 19, round 20 that they were originally predicting. So round 16, round 17 for Jaden Brayley. So if you look like you're going to be playing When the whips are cracking, Jaden Brayley might be a nice little stash for you, because I'm sure there's a lot of players out there that are running with shit hookers, blokes like...
And he's definitely done a job previously as well. And look, he sorted your team out most of the last season. So
yeah, very good.
Definitely want to keep your eye on.
100%. And he'll come back. He'll play 80 minutes and he'll make 50, 55 tackles. And if you're getting a hooker in 2022 that's getting you 55 points solid from just tackles, mate, you're fucking winning. So I love him as a stash. And the other guy you were talking about is Wade Egan. Still playing big minutes. Most games, 80 minutes. Though. Hey, what was that?
Very try-inflated, though.
Yeah.
So it's one of those word of warning sort of players. You don't want to be having him in your side each week. But if he's got a decent matchup against teams that do leak against hookers, he's probably one to float around.
Yeah. He's, I mean, like I said, with the pool of hookers that are going around here, it's bare. So probably a free agent pickup there for Wade Egan. Let's get into the pigs. So for me, first guy I want to talk about is Max King. He either doesn't qualify for the under 35% ownership. He's 41%, but I think that should be a little bit higher. Three-round average of 63, averaging 56 minutes at the moment. In those games, look, he's just been a workhorse. Very similar to your Pat Garrigan, your Josh Cohen types.
Josh King at the start of the season.
Josh King at the start of the season. Just getting through a lot of work, and it seems like Big Potter really does love him. So at the moment, obviously, you've got Luke Thompson suffering.
I was about to say, Luke Thompson's out for a little bit. Until Luke Thompson gets back, he's a fantastic option.
And he's still suffering the aftermath of the concussion, so we don't know how long that is going to linger on with. I still think he'll pump out some good minutes even off the bench. I think he's a fantastic pickup.
He's been a solid upgrade. Yeah, you did the King upgrade.
King upgrade went from Josh to Max, and I'm loving it at the moment. Your boy here, Corey Horsbrough, the red mist, the big red.
Yeah.
Killing it at the moment. Obviously, he's 2RF dual eligible. 5-round average of 62. Obviously, had a really big game on the weekend. Last four games, averaging 50 minutes off the bench. I like that. I think as far as front row forwards go, he's very serviceable.
He's, and the thing is, like, Sticky likes to use him whether he's on the bench or whether he starts. And that is one good thing. You don't necessarily mind if he's got the orange dot because, fuck, he's going to get some decent minutes and he does pump out some good stats with those minutes.
Yeah, he seems angry at the moment. Seems pissed off, getting through a lot of work.
He seems angry every time he crosses that white line.
Yep. He is hitting blokes and making it stick at the moment. So I love him. And we've said it a million times, front row forward, just a kind of a position this year. So in all honesty, you could be just streaming your front row forwards on form. Guys that come in and out of form, you know, like Max King's in form now, stream him in once
That's what I'm doing.
Exactly. Once Luke Thompson comes back, then go pick up someone like Tom Flegler, Josh Alioi. Both of those guys are in really good form as well. They seem to come up a lot in these waiver wire podcasts, Tom Flegler and Josh Alioi. I think Tom Flegler got like an 80 plus and Josh Alioi scored fucking two tries on the weekend. So I do like those two as well. But the two guys I really like, Max King and Corey Hosbrough for the front row forward position. Anything else there that you like?
Kapow's in there, but he's struggling to stay in the squad in like the run-on side. So, Collins is there. You mentioned him. And, there's not really that he's much available. Tamu's had good parts for the season, but he's long in the tooth. He's not really the player that he was. And Wallace is very reliant on tries. And, I'm not liking how that forward pack lines up anyway.
No, there really is not a lot out there. So, like we said, just streaming. It sounds weird to say it, streaming your front row forward position, but just pick up guys that are in form and drop them when they're not. It's as simple as that.
And it's like guys like Alioi. Like he might be good for the next few weeks, but in like a month's time, he's probably going to go to shit when Desi rotates his forwards.
Yep.
So Kepi might get starts and instead of him. So
that's it. And then pick up Kepi and play him.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into the two RFs. So one of the guys that you really liked was Murata Niokore. Talk to me about him.
So he seems to have got the one of those edge back row spots in favour of Isaiah Papali, who's shifted to the lock position.
Yep.
Look, I just like what he brings. He brings intensity, upper body violence when he carries a ball. And, it's obvious. What's he likes in? Brad Arthur, I think he's definitely going to find a position in the team, and I think he's going to do a job. He's obviously not your strike 2RF or strike CDW, but he's great to have on your bench to cover a few spots.
That's why I think
carrying him on your bench as like your fifth, sixth CDW or your fourth 2RF is like a perfect thing because he covers two positions. You're not using up another spot for to cover, you're covering, what would you say, like 60-70% of your team?
Yeah, for sure. The thing is, don't expect to get 80 minutes out of him. He's getting benched and Papali is moving out to that right edge at some points during the game. But, he's got a really good matchup this week, so I like him as a plug-and-play this week. Another guy in a similar vein as him is Jaden Sewer. I don't expect him to get 80 minutes, but since he's come back, he's looked really good, really strong. They're using him.
It's an interesting one where they've shifted Sims into lock. They've pushed DeBellin into the front row, which they said they were going to do at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And then obviously that frees up the spot with Sewer. He's pairing up with Bird, who's still in that edge back row spot as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see Sewer get 80 minutes. I just don't know if it's there for him. But at the moment, he seems to be doing a lot with the sort of high 50s, 60 minutes that he is getting. Other than that, man, there's not a lot of 2RFs. It is another position that is really lacking depth at the moment, which is weird because usually quality, there's just a fuckload. Yeah, quality depth.
There's a lot in there, like your Kenny Bromwiches, Elliot Whitehead. Ricky at the start of the season, we're all about Ricky, but he just hasn't followed it up with consistent performances. It is a bit lean. Like RFM's an interesting one.
I was just about to bring him up.
I think he passes the eye test big time. Like he had some real strong carries in the game last week against the Eels. And look, if they can carry that on against the Tigers, look, anything's possible. Can they go back to back?
Well, and the thing is, like, they've obviously shuffled a little bit with that forward pack with TPJ going back TPJ to 13, Max yep. King coming up the front row, and RFM has stayed steady there in the edge back row spot. So, look, Mick Potter might like him there, might like him playing big minutes. So, you could do worse than pick up RFM and work him on your bench and just see if he just strings together 80-minute performances. Because, yeah, like we said, it's pretty dire straits here with the two RFs.
Yeah, she's not easy.
No, let's get into another position where there's fuck all to pick from, and that's the halfback position. So, look, I had a real hard look here, and the only bloke I could really come up with is Jake Avarillo, halfback 5'8", dual eligible, now playing fullback for the Dogs. I do like what he's brought to the Dogs at fullback. I think they've found their fullback for the rest of the year. I think his job, his position in the team is cemented there. The only thing I'm worried about...
looks so much better in attack, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think it gels the team and it just works.
And also, you're getting that ball playing at the back as well, something that you didn't really get with Dufty. Dufty did have a nice pass on occasion in patches. Jake Avarillo has it every single play. He's very silky both sides of the ruck.
Yep.
I will say this, even with a try, it's not great, the points that he's putting up, but he has scored...
57 points with a try.
Yeah, but he has scored four tries in three games.
Was it with two tries? Was it two tries last
game? Yeah, scored three.
Two tries, 57 minutes.
Yep. 57 points, yeah. So, but in all honesty, that's pretty much all I could find in halfback without stealing your guys from 5'8". Just having
even mine's a bit of a cheat anyway, because he's sitting up, like a lot of people have jumped on him in the last week, Ezra Mann. So, Ezra's available dual. He's 53.8% owned. That's going to shoot up again this week, especially with Gamble being out for a while. And then obviously A-Ray being out as well. So,
man, I think
tough game this week, but I think he sticks there for the rest of the season.
100%. I think he cemented his spot there alongside Adam Reynolds. So I think he's a fantastic pickup. Broncos have a pretty good run into finals, and even their finals run is not too bad as well. And he's dangerous. He's dangerous, Ezra Mam. His game lends itself to super coach points, so I do like him as a pickup.
Yeah, he's very, very, and passes the eye test. He looks good. He looks dangerous every time he carries. He's actually decent in defense as well, and that's a big thing for staying in that squad because, all it takes is a few real bad misses in defense, and then Tyson Gamble starts to look pretty good for Walters.
Yeah. Another guy that I've got a few questions about is Volkman playing for the Warriors. Now, I know there's raps on this kid and that he's going to be a future star, but the Warriors are shit show. They're a burning dumpster fire inside a volcano. It's not good, and it doesn't get any better in the Supercoach Finals either. Their run in the Supercoach Finals is disgusting. So I wouldn't be touching him with a 10-foot pole. So, but yeah, other than, man, yeah, halfback's terrible, man. Yeah. 5'8". Kurt Mann's back. He's only 39.5% ownership. 5'8 CTW dual eligible, playing lock now. Again, they've finally dropped Fitzgibbon. So that's an interesting one for 5'8".
Yeah. And look, writing was on the wall about three seasons ago. But look, they finally got Barnett over the top of him. How long that lasts, we don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a merry-go-round, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
One guy that I thought he looked all right passing the eye test again was Paul Turner for the Titans.
Yeah,
the Titans obviously aren't playing their best footy and all that. But, look, I think you could do a lot worse because he'll be in that position for a while to come, probably another 6 weeks, you'd say.
Yep.
What's his name?
Jaden Campbell.
The fullback. Jaden Campbell. Yep. So Jaden Campbell's obviously out with that hammy problem.
For at least 8 weeks.
Yeah, so you got probably another 6-7 weeks with him. So he can definitely sort out, and he's CTW dual as well. So
yeah, I liked him. He didn't kick the ball once. All he did was tackle, run and pass.
But that wasn't his job.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's so much more he can add to this team, and he got 44 points just from doing that. The other thing I like about Paul Turner is he's playing on the left, obviously. That's where the Titans score their points through Firma or whoever's playing wing out there. And obviously, you've got Brimson with the left edge sweep as well. That's his tendency to go to the left as well. But if you look at the Titans' run in the finals, it is sexy come round 23 and 24. Yeah. So if he's someone... And to be honest, I'm thinking about him just putting him on my bench because I don't really like Cody Walker's strength of schedule in the Supercoach finals. And it might be someone that I can pick up and put there and just go, maybe I play Paul Turner against the Knights rather than play Cody Walker versus Cowboys. Something like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So something to think
about. Especially with the defensive form that the Cows are in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think he's definitely worth a pickup. Let's get into the CTWs. Now, there's a few guys here to talk about. The first guy that I like, Branko Lee. So he's obviously locked down that position from Herbie Farnworth, who's going to be out for 8-plus weeks with that bicep tear. Had a really good hit out on the weekend. Had a try assist, 21 tackles, 6 tackle breaks. Big boy. Loves to bump him. Had one offload and 9 points. Really solid hit out for Branko. Mm. And we've always loved him. We've always sucked his dick. So, yeah, big on Branko, I think.
We were hoping at the start of the season that he'd get one of those spots and the cards didn't fall his way. And, he looks like he's going to be going to the Dolphins next season.
Yeah, good pick up.
By all accounts.
Good pick. I love Branko. The thing is, Brisbane are left dominant. We've seen that they score a lot of their points down the left edge. But the thing is, Branko can get you 40-45 without scoring a try or setting one up just with base.
And how many tries has Farnsworth scored this season?
Yeah, well, I think he had...
Branko Lee is capable of scoring as many.
100%, and he's got more of a pass on him than Herbie Farnworth. Herbie Farnworth cannot pass right to left. He can step off his left foot. We know he can do that, but he cannot pass the ball right to left. So, yeah, I really like Branko. I think he's the pick of the litter here for the CTWs. Greg Marzu, he is a little bit more owned. He's over 35%, but I just want to touch on him. He had 13 tackle breaks on the weekend. I mean, as far as NRL standards go, he does have a lot of defensive deficiencies, but for Supercoach, he's perfect, man. He's perfect, especially now he's playing on the left wing. I mean, for the Titans, that's fantastic, and that's
the money making zone for the Titans because, like you said before, with that sweep going right to left, they fucking pick him out left, right, and center.
Not just for the Titans, for the whole league. It's all about It's all about left attacks. It's all about left wings, like. Every week on the Chase Your Losses podcast when I'm picking try scorers, I reckon 95% of them are left wingers. It barely ever comes up a right winger unless you're talking about the Cowboys every now
and then. I mean, you've got Kyle Felt, and then like last season or the season before, was it, when the Roosters were pumping down Brett Morris's ring on the right side. Yep. That's the last time we've had like a real dominant right-sided team.
So really, you want your team with just left wingers. That's all you want. Left wingers in your side. We also got Grant Anderson for the Storm. Now, what's your thoughts on him locking down that right wing spot for the Storm? Because it's open. It's wide open now with Coates out for 8 to 9 weeks.
Yeah. So Coates is out for a while. We've got Pappenhausen going to come back in. Whether Marianne Sive keeps the spot over Anderson, it's effectively between Anderson and Sive to keep a spot because you'd expect Nini to probably take the wing spot and then one of them to take the centre spot. So I think it's between Sive and Anderson. I wouldn't really be gambling on either of them personally.
I think Sive is going to keep it because he's playing centre. So Sive will keep his spot. But Aaron Mayer is playing left wing and Nick Meaney will end up going to left wing. So it's whether they move Aaron Mayer to right wing or they just drop Aaron Mayer altogether and keep Grant Anderson on the right wing.
I love the intensity that Anderson brought. I think it'd be great for the game if Anderson kept his spot, but I think Aaron May has got the rungs on the board, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
has he played right wing? I don't know if I've seen him play right wing, that's all. But either way, I think maybe Grant Anderson's worth a free agent pickup just in case it goes that way, because it is pretty good real estate.
Keep him on the bench regardless, yep. And look, he could come to something good. One that's probably worth talking about, he's touching a bit on the higher end of ownership, is Luke Garner.
Yep.
The only reason why I mention Luke is
he scored
a try. He scored a few tries this season, and he's played a bit of centre, he's played a bit of back row. But the big news with Lucy Liu moving up to Cows effective immediately means that the merry-go-round between him and Tuilagi is probably going to end, and he'll be rock solid in that edge back row spot.
Yeah, fair call.
So that's pretty good news for Ghana. And look, he's a pretty decent pickup because he is centre wing and 2RF dual. Similar vein to the Nakora pickup, I think Ghana's probably might be on par, if not a bit better, for longevity wise. And probably higher end for his ceiling as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I do like Luke Garner. And that's a nice segue into the next one I want to talk about. And this will sort out a few of the questions that have rolled in through Instagram. Connolly Lumalu, obviously played well on the weekend. Available CTW, playing edge back row for the Cowboys at the moment with Tommy Gilbert not playing. Great plug and play this week. But obviously with Lucy going up there, you would expect him to probably play on that left edge.
So Lukey's out ACL. This is what that's effectively what prompted the Cows to go activate getting Lucy Liu up there now. Gilbert's out.
Yep.
And then Nanai's in the team. But you got the two guys that would fill that other edge back row spot out. I can't see.
No.
Lemelu will get a bench spot, and he's performed fucking awesome.
But people are fucking, they're losing their shit over him, just want just to pump the fucking brakes. Lucy's going up there. If you think he's not going to start and play 80 minutes, you're sorely mistaken. So nice play this week.
Your left edge back rower gets a season-ending injury. They then activate a left edge back row player to come up. You don't think that's going to...
He's going to play. Yeah, he's playing, baby. Yeah, he's playing. 100%. All right, let's get the fullbacks. Just two guys here, Xavier Savage and Tolu Kola. Or is it Kola or Kula? I think it's Kola, actually. Canicola.
Canicola.
So he looked good in the weekend. Not really big on him, to be honest, because he did that all himself from broken play and some poor defense. You can't expect that every week. But Xavier Savage, and we've talked about Raiders' run over the next sort of four or five games, is sexy as fuck. It's not too bad in the finals either. Obviously, you've got CNK coming back sort of like that round 18, round 19, which will shake
things up. Does he come back in though?
Exactly. It's a really good question. And I posed it the other day on the physio rub as well. Like, Xavier Savage is killing at the moment. Yeah, he's got a few little things.
He's got a lot of errors and stuff.
He needs to iron out in his game. I think he's the future.
He offers more than CNK has this season or last, to be fair.
100%. And it's clear that he's the future there at fullback for the Raiders. So do they fuck him around, bring him in and out of the side, or do they just go, let's hit stick with this bloke and go?
He's young though. You don't want to overawe him. Anyway.
They're all 18,
19. Yeah, I know. Can we just take a moment to appreciate DWZ's try? That was absolutely fucking ridiculous. That was like, it was shades of Nofaluma back in, I think it was arousing. It was the most arousing thing around.
It was tucked right up into my belt. It was touching the belly button for a while there. I was very excited about it.
It was in the belly button.
I don't want to hear about what you fucking do. That's still okay.
It obviously doesn't make it up.
Nowhere near it. Nowhere near it.
It's lucky to make the belt. So DWZ, he scored 67 with that awesome try. 32% owned. 45-point average. Look, if he wasn't playing for the Warriors, I'd be looking at him. But yeah, it's just that
Warriors are garbage.
He's just in some terrible real estate.
Yep, garbage. All right, let's just go through the round 15 waiver wire team of the week. So we'll go hooker, Jaden Brayley as a stash. We'll go front row forward, Big Red, the Red Mist, Corey Horse, brah. Just a free agent pickup for him. 2RF, yep. We'll go Murata near Corey, free agent as always as well for him. Halfback, Jake Avrilo. I reckon he's worth a low-end waiver claim just because of halfback. Yep. 5'8", Ezra Mam. If he's out there, he's a high waiver claim.
If he's out there, he's the number one claim.
Big time.
It's a tough one because he's 50% owned.
Yeah. CTW, Branko Lee. I think he's a very high waiver claim as well.
Yep.
And fullback, Xavier Savage, definitely a waiver claim as well, especially if you need wins in the next sort of couple of weeks because the Raiders run so sexy.
Yeah, and look, he's the type of player that we saw that he had a real shit game in parts. He still scored in the 60s. And
yep.
Look, I think he's capable of tunneling up quite easily.
Confidence is growing in him, and you can see it. He's running the ball more. He wants the ball. He's calling for it. That's great signs for someone that's as electric as him. All right, bro, let's get into some questions. I'll start firing the Instagram ones at you. You keep an eye on the Instagram live questions. So guys, if you're watching on the Instagram live, start sending your questions in for your waivers. And I'll start going through them. Lemmy Lou, or however the fuck is pronounced your name, is he worth a pickup? Only for this week.
Yep.
Best CTW plug and play this week. So I did have a think about this. It's hard because there's not a lot out there. I do like the Raiders up against the Knights. So if Kotrick's out there, if Rapana is he's out there, I don't mind him as a pickup as well. Murray Talangi from the Cowboys, if he's available, like him as a plug and play. But other than that, there's not a lot out there. All the guys that have got the best matchups will be taken.
Yeah, and they'll have over 50% ownership, so that's going to be real tough to get them.
Yep, 100%. So probably Nick Kotrick's probably got the lowest ownership with the best matchup. All right, let's go. The next one, better option of Sua or Ricky?
Sorry, say that again. I was just reading Liam's post.
Better option of Sua or Ricky?
I'd say Sua, just because Ricky's let us down a bit this season. Yep. And yeah, they've seemed to attack that left side a bit more than the right side. And when they do go left, they go all the way out to Cobo, and they don't really get to both Ricky or Stags, to be fair.
Yeah, Sua seems to be more dangerous with the ball in hand, close to the line as well. Probably a better chance to score a try. So I do like Sua. All right, next one. Need a CTW since Aiken is out. Sully, Milne, Mann, Branko, or Grant Anderson? Fuck, I love Sully. Sully has been playing.
Sully's been playing his best footy. Yep. Of his career.
Yep. It's got to be Sully or Branko for me out of those two. Out of those four, sorry.
Yeah. I'd say Branko for more permanent play. Just because he's playing the Storm this week, it's going to be real tough for him to aim up. It's kind of a homecoming for him because he did play a season with him. But I just don't see him really lighting it up. I think that's going to be a low scoring game.
I do like Suli's run in the finals as well. Dragons, pretty soft run in the Supercoach finals. Do you see Manu, Lamb, or Hutchinson replacing Kiri? Yeah, look, if Kiri obviously going to miss the game because of the concussion protocols, I think
Manu is the better option because they've got more depth in center position because all they need to do is bring Momorowski back. All signs point to Hutchinson.
I think Hutcho gets it. He's played there when they've had some issues in the halves earlier on in the season. You've obviously got Connor Watson that's playing that 14 role. And look, do would they have held Drew Hutchinson on the bench with Connor Watson and Sam Verrills on the side if they didn't think they were going to use Drew Hutchinson at 5'8 at some point? So it does, yeah, it does point, also signs point to Hutcho.
Put it this way though, are you more afraid of a team that has Manu in the halves or Hutchinson?
Oh mate, I'd change a lot of things in the NRL, but no one fucking listens to me. Do I drop Ezra Mamm for Avarillo? Is that a real question?
What?
No.
Keep
Ezra Mamm, champ. Hold Coates. You might not see him in the Supercoach season. So depending on whether you need wins or not, yeah, to be honest. If you need wins and you need blokes on the field, then get rid of him.
And he's going to come back right when you start the Supercoach finals. And we know he's got a real low game in him. And especially if he's low on confidence coming back from the injury, doubting himself a little bit. I'd drop him personally.
Hold the hammer or drop him for Xavier Savage. Get Savage, bro.
Ooh, I'd get Savage.
I love the Savage. Turbo owner here. Olakuatu plus Coates for Latrell or Drinkwater and Madison. I mean,
whoa,
if you're getting Drinkwater and Madison, I love that.
Yeah, 100%.
You're only giving up. You're really only giving up Olakuatu.
What? Didn't you just say Latrell and?
No, either Latrell or Drinkwater and Madison. So you're going to pick out a Latrell and Drinkwater. I'd probably go Drinkwater just because the Bunnies in the finals is so shit.
It's fucking awful. Pretty much from next round, is it? Or the wet round after?
Next four rounds for the Bunnies is really, really good. Like, really fucking good. But from round 20 all the way through to round 24 is
so
really,
when you need them to perform.
When I need them, yes. I don't care about the next four rounds because I'll be in the finals.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, so would you drop Bird to waivers to pick up Niokore?
Oh, nah. It's going to be 6 months after the other.
It's really a sideways move there. With Tessie New back soon, would you flip Tamari Martin for Volkman or Avarillo?
Avarillo maybe, not for Volkman.
Yeah.
He's an unknown quantity, especially with CHT on the bench. Fuck that.
No. Don't touch Volkman. But yeah, maybe Avarillo, maybe. Also, I'm in need of wins, boys. I have been offered Grant for my players Haas and Fifita.
Holy shit. That's tantamount to trade, right?
Don't do that. I have Coates. Go for Anderson or Branko Lee. We've talked about that. Go for Branko Lee. Yeah. Do you prefer Garner or Branko Lee for a waiver pickup?
Depends if you need to fill a run on spot, Branko. If it's for someone who's going to sit on the bench and be cover,
yep.
Garner.
Yeah, for sure. Garner, Barnett or Flegler?
Barnett,
100%. Is Nat Butcher a waiver target? Nat Butcher, at the moment he is, but just keep in the back of your mind
that Vic Radley
is coming back soon.
Nat Butcher is the ultimate trade-out target right now. Yep. Do not wait for this round to be completed. Send out trades fucking as much as you can to get him out of your team because he is going to be riding the bench in about 3 weeks' time.
But if you need someone right now,
I promise you,
he'll punch out 60, 65 points. If he's
available, pick him up. But yeah, don't be thinking you want to hold him for
traded Lomax for Dewey last week. Who won the trade? I'd rather Lomax.
Whoever has Lomax.
Yep, big time. Thoughts on Adam Elliott? Meh.
I think he's a good pickup, for the Knights next season. So far as this season, I just can't trust any sticky back rows.
Yeah, high 40s, so that sort of average. Not
expected. He's had some really good games, but all of them have been try inflated. So, yeah.
Yep. Paulo, Milne, or Tomoko for this week?
Oh, man.
I think you've got to go Milne Jackson, with the matchup Jackson, against
Jackson,
the Dragons.
Paulo and Milne, they've swapped so many times this season.
Yeah, I know. Like,
my head's spinning. Just pick
actually,
and stick.
Actually, yeah, Paulo's playing wing. I thought it was Milne.
No, it was. The week before last, it was.
Whoever's playing that wing, that right wing, so Paulo against the Dragons.
Yeah.
That's probably your pick there. How we go? Do we get any questions on Insta?
Yeah. So Liam P, otherwise known as Lily, neck the VV, and our whiskey bet is on.
Oh, it's my brother-in-law. It's on, bitch. It's on. hasn't got big enough balls to bet me a player, but I'll take the whiskey bet.
All those players are injured, and I did take a player off him this week. So thoughts on Paul Turner for the Titans. We've covered him. He looked good, passed the eye test. Wonderful for him, blah, blah, blah. What else we got? We've got Hastings or Mann to play this week. Look, Hastings for the matchup.
Matchup against the Dogs, yeah.
The Dogs looked all right and looked pretty solid in defence at times, but I don't think the Eels really throwing much at him.
And they're not the Storm either.
Mann is a great pickup for the rest of the season. But I would be benching. I have him, and I'm benching him this week. He's just not. He's not going to get a spot. And that's actually it, mate.
Sweet, quick and easy. Let's get out of here. Get out there. Good luck on the waivers, guys. What do we got coming up soon? Wook, we've got next week. Actually, we might have a surprise podcast next week. Is it rep work round next week? Yes, I think
isn't rep round the same round as Origin?
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Next week?
So it must be next week, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then we have Origin the following Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, Sunday.
Is it? Oh, Sunday, yeah.
Sunday. So next week, we might have a bit of a surprise podcast with the Guru. I haven't even told you about this.
Oh, hello.
So we have the Guru on, and it's going to be, we'll have Guru's team, and me and you will tear it to shreds. It'll be like a mid-season review.
Nice.
I'll do my team, do your team, give everyone a bit of an update on how we're going and how we're looking coming up to
Supercoach finals. So we're going to be tearing shreds of the team that we drafted or the team that we've got now, because my team that I got now is nothing like the team that I drafted.
Team that we've got now, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Yep. That's all right then.
Yep, and then after that, week we'll go back to normal scheduling, but we're building towards the big strength of schedule finals podcast that we're going to put out. It's going to be huge, guys. I'm not even sure how many podcasts it's going to make. It'll probably be 2 or 3 podcasts to get it done, but it's going to be huge, just setting you up for your Supercoach finals so you can start making moves now. I've already started trying making moves because I'm starting to look towards the finals, and I just went, oh,
he's shopping around his bunnies, guys. He's shopping around.
Oh, bunnies
after
do not
big,
look
after
good.
That big trade to get Cody in your team, and you're like, oh.
Well, it worked out perfect because I picked Cody up to get me in a good spot, which I am coming second. So I'm in the good spot now. But I looked at the Supercoach finals. I was like, I got Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. And I'm talking to guys that really need wins in the next 4 weeks. Bunnies have a fantastic run in the next 4 weeks, and they're not taking Cody Walker. This is the problem when you play with guys that don't like to trade.
But also, Cody Walker's like, he hasn't really performed this season. So it's a really tough sell at the moment.
He's been like, right.
Yes, he can.
What's his 5-round average at the moment? 70 something?
His 5-round average is 65. His average is 55. And then his 3-round average is 65 as well. So, look, he hasn't set the world alight for what you'd expect to get from him from a trade.
Tell me this, if you would like him in the next 4 rounds. He plays Dragons, Parramatta, Newcastle, and then Bulldogs. If you need Ws, is that a good run?
And they're 4 of the highest Supercoach conceding sides.
Yeah, I know.
Conceding sides in the league, like, easily.
I know. But anyway,
his high scores against those are 151, 102, 92, and 91.
I mean, if you need wins, you've got to take that. But anyway, no one wants him, so I'm just going to have to do my best here. Yeah. Pick up Paul Turner.
I'll give you Adam Dewey for him.
No thanks. No thanks, bro. No thanks. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Cheers. Peace.
Bye.
See ya.
Cheers.
You can take me now. I have seen it all.
Get that, India.
Ta-da.